puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
And it's time for the continuing escapades of one Gordon Goldsboro from the Manitoba Historical Society. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Bruce.
And what are we talking about today?
Well, recently, heritage advocates were outraged when a fine collection of shards on display in a park along Winnipeg's Portage Avenue was destroyed. What are shards? Where do they come from? Why are they valuable? These are our questions today, but before we answer them, I do have an update from last week's conversation.
Oh, okay, about pizza. Yeah, what happened?
Right. Well, when we talked about the history of pizza here in Manitoba, I said that I could find no sign that Pizza Place, one of Winnipeg's earliest restaurants that specialized in pizza, was still in existence. Well, a listener set me straight, informed me that there, in fact, is a Pizza Place outlet featuring its iconic Leaning Tower of Pisa logo in the T-Birds Bowling Alley in Brandon. So, it appears that Pizza Place lives on.
Well, that's a bit of good news.
Yeah.
Little Winnipeg heritage now, of course, in Brandon. Well, Manitoba heritage, that is. Okay, let's take your questions one at a time here that you were asking. What are shards?
Well, in general, a shard is a fragment of a hard object. You know, things like glass, metal, stone. When it's broken into shards. In the context of what we're talking about today, I consider a shard to be the remains of a building, usually one from the 19th or early 20th centuries, when buildings had ornate and, I think, quite beautiful flourishes on their exterior and also sometimes in their interior. When one such building is demolished, shards are sometimes salvaged to be used for decorative purposes.
And where do they come from? What kind of building shards exist?
Typically, shards come from commercial or public buildings of various kinds, but in principle, there's no reason that shards from any type of building, especially if it's large and, you know, kind of dramatic, could not be preserved too.
Are shards valuable?
Well, you know, I suppose it depends on what one means by valuable. In my view, the value of shards is that they remind us of prominent buildings that once stood in Manitoba. For example, immediately west of the Granite Curling Club in downtown Winnipeg, there's a small park. It's called Mostyn Park, and it contains several large shards that came from the city's central post office. Now, that building, that post office, stood at the corner of Portage Avenue and Gary Street between 1908 and 1962. I'm too young to remember it. I was just a toddler at the time. But our older listeners may have memories of visiting that post office, you know, for mail service. But it also played a significant role in a number of other ways in the operation of the federal government. You know, for example, it housed the Canada Customs. It housed the Dominion Lands Department and the Federal Public Works Department. Now, after that old post office building was demolished in 1962, some of the stone columns that once graced its exterior were put into storage, along with its postal coat of arms that had once been displayed on the building. Now, they lay in storage for the next 28 years before they finally were brought out and put back on display. The columns were put up in that Mostyn Park near the curling rink. The coat of arms reappeared in the English Garden at Assiniboine Park, and along with shards from another site, from the Royal Alexandra Hotel over on Higgins Avenue, you know, a luxurious railway hotel that was demolished in 1971. So that's one way of thinking of, right, you know, are they valuable? But I think another way is in quite literal, you know, financial terms. You know, Heritage Winnipeg, a nonprofit organization here in Winnipeg that promotes awareness of the city's early heritage buildings, has a collection of shards that they have offered for sale. The shards come from a couple of buildings, the Winnipeg Theater that was destroyed by fire in 1926, and the Thompson Pope Building, demolished in 1983, to make way for the Portage Place Shopping Mall.
Yeah. So what do these shards cost then?
Well, not really clear. Back in 2023, Heritage Winnipeg put out a call asking for potential buyers to make them an offer. And so I have no information on what quantity of shards eventually sold or at what price. But clearly, shards can have a financial value, at least to some people.
So how many public shards are actually out there?
I don't think anyone has a definite answer to that question. I searched the MHS database and found shards at 21 locations, mostly in Winnipeg, but also in Clandeboy, Carmen, and Birds Hill. Now, those latter three are what are called name stones or date stones from schools. That's where a piece of stone has the name of an early school carved into it, or the date when the school was constructed. Those things are often salvaged when a school is being demolished. Now, I'm certain that I've seen shards in Brandon, but I can't remember where. And there's likely many others, too. You know, so I'm hoping that if listeners know of shards that I don't know about, please get in touch with me. Gordon, G-O-R-D-O-N, at mhs.mb.ca. But here in Winnipeg, well, the total number, unknown. The city of Winnipeg actually recently carried out an inventory of shards, and I think they'll be the first to admit that their total is incomplete. You know, I think this is because some of the surviving shards are quite inconspicuous. Mm-hmm. You know, for example, during the COVID pandemic, my wife and I did a lot of walking around the city. And in January of 2021, as we were walking on the frozen surface of the Seine River, well, we found a pile of shards that had been dumped along the riverbank. There were numerous square chunks of stone, and many of them were fairly elaborately sculpted. You know, maybe they came from a column or something like that. And I suspect whoever dumped the shards there thought they might be a good hedge against riverbank erosion.
Huh.
I checked with a few of my sources, but nobody knew where the shards had come from.
Interesting. And you did mention at the beginning about shards along Portage Avenue that have recently been destroyed. What's the story there?
Well, in the early 1980s, in preparation for building a multi-story office block for Air Canada, two old buildings, the Sharp Block from 1919 and the Bettis Block from 1908, were demolished. Now, the new building that replaced them was set back from the street a ways, and that created a public area that the company, Air Canada, donated to the city of Winnipeg. The architectural firm of Stetchison Cates was hired to design a park, and that park opened officially in June of 1985.
Right.
Now, shards from several demolished buildings were featured in the park, including two Tyndall stone columns from the Northern Crown Bank Block. Two Tyndall stone columns from the Northern Crown Bank branch that had once stood at Portage and Maryland. It was demolished in 1983. There were also several shards from the Devon Court apartment block on Broadway. It was demolished in 1982. And there was a cast iron pillar from the McIntyre block, a very big and very prominent block mm-hmm. that had once stood on Main Street, demolished in 1979. Well, in 2022, a multi-million dollar revitalization project for the park was announced, and excavation of the site began last September, with hopes of reopening the park this year, 2025. In the process, all of those old shards were destroyed and hauled away, much to the chagrin of heritage advocates who would have liked to see them preserved and, well, if not reinstalled in the park itself, maybe put somewhere else. And I think what this case reveals is that, well, not everyone is impressed by the historical significance of shards, mm-hmm. especially, and I think this is key, if no effort is made to document their history. You know, it could be as simple as putting a plaque attached to a shard which says, this is where the shard came from and this is why it's important. You know, and so if a shard is put on display merely as an anonymous chunk of stone or metal, I'm not surprised that demolition workers would not see it as anything worth preserving.
Well, that would also be up to the planners as well to have notified the demolition workers. I spent some time in that park. I didn't know that those of the historical origins of those pieces there, they were mm-hmm. just kind of, you know, something to to look at. So yeah, they're gone, huh?
Yeah, my point exactly. Say you didn't know their history because nobody had made an effort to tell people about it. And, you know, it's all well and good to use them as an attractive piece, but I think it would be so much more, interesting and informative if there was a little plaque on that said, this came from the McIntyre block, and this is something about that building. And then you'd say, whoa, really? That's interesting. Whereas if you just see a pillar and you don't know anything about it, it's just an anonymous thing.
If people are curious, how can they learn more about shards that do still survive in the city?
Well, they can query the Manitoba Historical Society's online database of historic sites. Search the term shard. And if you want to see some visual examples, some shards up close, including the main post office in that little park on Mauston near Granite Curling Club, or the central police station that used to sit where the Manitoba Museum now is, a short video we've made in the Manitoba Historical Society's Manitoba Heritage Minutes series. Check out YouTube. Our shards video launched last Monday. Search YouTube on the term Winnipeg Shards and it'll come right up.
Very interesting. I'll have to do that later today after the show. So thanks for that. What's up for next week?
Well, it is spring, although the present weather might make us think otherwise. And as the winter gradually releases its icy grip on Manitoba, many of us will start to think about getting out on the road. Now, some might be getting their camper trailer ready, and some of those trailers might be a much-beloved tiny thing known as a bowler. The Manitoba origin story of the bowler will be our theme next week.
Can't wait for that one. Thank you very much, Gordon.
Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons ago.